Thanks. That was great. Thanks for being a part. Thanks for calling. Thanks for being just working with our folks. And it's been a joy today just to have you guys. And can we do it again next year? Can you come back once a month? So, isn't that great? Yeah, thank you. So let's pray together, okay? Father, we come before you just so grateful. So grateful for worship today. So grateful for your presence. So grateful for your great name that we've sung up today. And that, Lord, that you would just continue to be exalted in this place as we open the word this morning. That, Lord, that you'd show yourself mighty and strong in our lives. That you'd show us who you are, who you've been in our lives, who you will be, what you promised to do. And I ask, Lord, that we would truly leave this place, not only knowing that we've met with you, but we've got a word from you, and it is a word to live on. I pray, Lord, that you would bless the reading of the word, the proclamation of it, every scripture as we continue our series on prayer, and that, Lord, that we would truly be a people of prayer, a people of the word, a people of prayer, so vital. Lord, I ask, Lord, in Jesus' name, that you would teach us to pray. And I ask these things in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen and amen. If you have your Bibles, turn to Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 11. We're continuing our study on this great, great passage of Scripture. I'm getting a little claustrophobic up here. I like to walk around. Didn't know how I was going to do it, but I'm going to do it, all right? So we've been talking about prayer, and we've moved into the Lord's Prayer. We ask the question, when you look at this passage, why would the disciples say to Jesus, teach us to pray? And we've talked about a number of reasons over the past couple of weeks as I've delved into this great passage of Scripture. And I just can't help but keep coming back to the fact that here were disciples who heard Jesus pray, heard the authority by which he spoke, saw things happen. But you know what else he saw? They saw that this great man who is Jesus, who is the Son of God, was so dependent on his Father as he was God in the flesh. And if God in the flesh is dependent upon the triune God, on God the Father, how much more should we be dependent upon the Father? If Jesus in the flesh says, everything that I do because I see my Father doing it. And I don't do anything. I don't do anything without him speaking, without him moving, without him showing. What my Father does is what I do. They saw that. They understood it. They heard the praying. They heard the teaching, and they saw the authority of it. And you know what? They just said, I just want that. I want that. It's my prayer as we think about moving from the series on hearing God to now speaking to God, that we would really understand the pillar. These are pillars of our faith. These are pillars of the movements of God in our lives as we grow into faith. We're hearing God through the word, and we're speaking that word back. We're speaking life back to our God. And so Jesus says in this passage of Scripture, he says, listen, when you pray, say. When you pray, say in this passage. Now we're looking at this Lord's Prayer, and we're also looking at Matthew chapter 6 in verses 9 and following when he gives us the Lord's Prayer when he was in Galilee. Now he's in Judea, and these disciples have said, hey, we want what you got. We want this great relationship that we see with your Father. So we look at this prayer, and we said a couple of weeks ago, this prayer is a model. It is not just a prayer to be recited. You can recite it, and we've heard it recited, and most of us know it, which is good, but it's an outline. It's a skeleton. It's the notes by which we are prompted to pray. When you look at the way folks prayed in the Old Testament, you have these same elements. When you hear every great prayer in Scripture from Paul, these are the same elements. You have this glory to God, this which we'll see in this first part, where we give glory to God, where we worship our God. This is our worship. We say, our Father in heaven, and then we say, oh God, may your name be hallowed. May your kingdom come. May your will be done. God's glory. And then we look at our need or God's provision. Give us what? This daily bread. Forgive us our sins. Lead us not into temptation. Deliver us from evil. Last week we talked about our Father who is in heaven, and we looked at a number of things. And the way we're looking at this series, if you're new to us today, which about 60 of you are, the way we're dealing with this series is that you look at every one of these phrases and you see relationship in it. You see our Father, which means we're saying you're our Father, and we say we're your children, and this is what children of God look like. This is how the children of God live. This morning we're going to look at this one phrase, hallowed be thy name. And what I want to suggest to you is that when we say hallowed be thy name, number one, we are saying you are our God. You are our God, and we are your worshipers, and this is how we worship. Now that's where we're heading today. You're our God. We are your worshipers, and this is what worshipers look like in relationship to this great God. Is that right? So I want us to talk about, in this passage of Scripture, or in this time together, what it means to hallow the name of God, and what it means to call upon the name of God, and what the name of God is all about. Now, I just love the selection of songs, Shelley, through this week. I don't even know if you knew that I'd get on this one at that time. You didn't, but we sung of all these wonderful names of God, right? And so just as you think through those songs, and by the way, you can get on Cottonwood Life, and you can look at those songs that we've sung today, and you can find those songs on the internet, and you can play those songs this week as you hallow the name of our great God. Now let's talk about a couple of things. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. And when we pray, hallowed be your name, we are saying that you are our God. It is the way that God has chosen to make his presence, to make his character known to us. It's by his name. Now the name in the Hebrew culture, or a name in any culture, is that by which one is known. But when you look in the eastern parts of the world, and you look at the ancient parts of the world, and you look in the Hebrew Bible, you notice something. You notice that names became really the essence of who that person was. It was the description of that person. It was the character of that person. It was the reputation of that person. Now, let me give you an example. When God called, when Jacob and Esau were born, Esau was the oldest. Now, Esau, the literal name for Esau is hairy, okay? Not H-A-R-R-Y, H-A-I-R-Y. And they said, look at that hairy kid. We'll call him Harry. We'll call him Esau, okay? That's what it means. And when Jacob comes out, he's the twin, he's coming out holding the heel of Jacob. And you know what it says? He says, hey, he's holding the heel of it. Let's call him heel holder. Let's call him supplanter. Let's call him this guy that strives and fights with men. And so that's what Jacob means. It's a word that means that he's got the word heel in it, and he's the heel grabber. Now, what's so great about this about Jacob's life is that when he meets God at Peniel, I believe it is, or Bethel, one of the places, he's wrestling with God. He's about to meet his brother Esau, and he's praying. He thinks Esau is going to kill him, and he's praying to God. And this angel appears, and they begin to wrestle. They begin to strive, and he fights this angel all night long. And this angel is not prevailing. This angel cannot pin this man down. That's pretty good, isn't it? I imagine he had that angel by his heel. I just imagine it. I mean, there's some wrestling moves that I think some folks could probably learn from this man. But they wrestle all night. And then the angel of the Lord cheats. Do you know what the angel of the Lord does? He punches his socket of his hip and pulls him out of joint and pins him and says, I got you. The guy says, hey, Jacob said, what's your name? I want to know who your name is. So why do you want to know my name? I want to know who your name is. Well, let me tell you what the angel of the Lord says. The angel of the Lord says to him, hey, I'm going to tell you what your name is now. You're no longer going to be known Jacob. You're going to be known as Israel. You have striven with men as Jacob, but now you have striven with God and you have overcome. And therefore I will call you Israel. We see the children of what? Israel. Israel, not the children of Jacob. God did something transformative in his life that night. And then that as a process in his life. And he was once known as the supplanter, the deceiver. But now he's the one who strives with God. That's just a Hebrew thing. It's a Hebrew culture. And you know what? If you'll do a study, if you had the time to do the study, and you Google the names of people in the genealogies of Jesus, you'll find something powerful. You'll find the gospel presentation by those men and those women's names. You will see something significant through those names. Names meant something. And just like it means today, your name means something. We know each other by our name, and when we think of each other, we think of characteristics of each other. We do. You're known by your name. If you're a grumpy person, I'm going to tell you, when your name comes up, it ought to be grumpy. Happy, ought to be happy, right? Believing, some of you believe, and you're known by your faith. But when they hear your name, when we hear your name, there's some things that we think about. And this is the same thing with God. God comes along and he makes known who he is by his name. Now, I want you to look at Exodus chapter 3. It is the call of Moses. Moses is being called to take the children out of captivity in Egypt. God meets him at the burning bush. And Moses is just beside himself. Moses doesn't want to do it. He doesn't think he can talk well. He thinks he has a stuttering problem. He just says, you know what? I'm the wrong man. I'm the wrong guy. And he's making all kinds of excuses before God. And he's 80 years old. He's an old man now. And he's just asking God, why are you using me? Why do you want to use me? And besides, I want to know something. You're asking me to come to Pharaoh. Look at verse 10. We'll start there. Exodus 3, verse 10. Therefore, come now, and I will send you to Pharaoh, so that you may bring my people, the sons of Israel, out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh, that I should bring the sons of Israel out of Egypt? And God said, certainly I'll be with you, and this shall be the sign to you. When I've sent you, when you have brought the people out of Egypt, that you'll worship God at this mountain. And Moses said to God, behold, I'm going to the sons of Israel. I'm going to say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you. Now they may say to me, what is his name? What shall I say to them? And God said to Moses, I am who I am. It is the verb to be. Hava is what it is. Jehovah. Same thing. Jehovah. Yahweh. I am who I am. Thus you shall say to the sons of Israel, I am has sent me to you. And God furthermore said to Moses, thus you shall say to the sons of Israel, the Lord, the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, has sent me to you. This is my name forever. This is my memorial name to all generations. I am that I am. What does that mean? It just means he's self-existing. He's self-fulfilling. He's self-happy. He's self-God. That's what it means. It means he doesn't need anybody. It means that he is the Alpha and the Omega. And not only the beginning and the end, he's always been, he'll always be. I am that I am. That's who you say. And by the way, he doesn't say this, but when you go to Pharaoh and Pharaoh says, what God is this? You say, what God do you have? And you look at passages of scripture in Isaiah, like Isaiah 45, that speaks about the idols of this age, the gods of this age. Our God is, those gods aren't. I am, you're not. You're not. I mean, I'll just turn there. I don't have it in the notes, but it's, gosh, that hurt. Isaiah chapter 46, Isaiah 46. You don't need to turn there, but I will just for a moment. He says, to whom will you liken me and make me equal and compare me, that we would be alike? Those who lavish gold from the purse, they weigh silver on the scale, they hire a goldsmith and he makes it into a god. They bow down. Indeed, they worship it. They lift it up on their shoulder and they carry this God and they set it in a place and it stands there. It doesn't move from its place. And the one may cry to it. It can't answer. It can't not deliver them from his distress. These are the gods of the world. They're nothing. They're absolutely nothing. The gods of the world can't hear, they can't taste, they can't see. He says they fashion this idol and they bow to it and it's nothing. Absolutely, totally nothing. Idols of our day have changed. Idols of our day have changed in so many ways, all based upon self, all based on the flesh, the carton. It's where I can feel good or I can be popular, or I can do this, or it's my money, or it's my stuff, or it's my relationships. And it doesn't profit, does it, when we chase after those things? I am that I am. I'm the self-existing one, and I reveal myself to you. Moses had the joy of hearing more about that on the mount. The second time, we find this in Exodus chapter 34. If you've been any time in this church and with us, you know this is a very important passage of Scripture. I know in my life, in explaining and desiring to walk in the glory and the presence of God. But the bottom line is this, in Exodus 33, Moses says, hey, I want to see your glory. And God says, okay, I'll show you my glory. I'll put you in the cleft of the rock. I'm going to put my hand over you. I'm going to pass by you because you can't see the front side of me. And when I pass by, I'll lift it up and you'll see my glory. And what's interesting about that in Exodus chapter 34, verse 5, that the Lord descends in the cloud and he stands there and Moses calls upon what? The name of the Lord. And then the Lord passed by in front of him and proclaimed Jehovah or Yahweh, Yahweh God. We sang about this today. Compassionate, gracious, slow to anger, abounding in loving kindness and truth, who keeps loving kindness for thousands, who forgives iniquity, transgression, and sin, yet he will by no means leave the guilty unpunished, visiting the iniquity of the fathers to the children, on the grandchildren, to the third and fourth generations. And Moses made haste to bow low toward the earth and worshiped the Lord. The Lord God, I am compassionate. That's what I do. That's who I am. I am compassionate. I am full of love. I'm full of kindness. I'm gracious. I'm slow to anger. I forgive iniquity, transgression, and sin. Listen, folks, this is our God. This is the name of our God. And this name is becoming to mean so much in this passage of Scripture because this name is describing who God is and how he acts and how he responds. He responds because he's compassionate, not because he's angry. He responds because he's gracious. He responds because he's a forgiving God. He responds. That's why everything that he's ever done for us is based on the character of God. And when I say, hallowed be thy name, I'm saying, God, this is who you are. You are my Father, our Father, and this is your name, and therefore this is your name, this is who you are, and this is who you are in my life. Hallowed be thy name. Now, what's great about Old Testament and how God revealed himself, that he revealed himself in a number of ways, in a number of names. Matter of fact, when you look at the names of God, you see who he is and you see the benefits by which he bestows upon his people. That's why we have faith in his name. So we place faith in him. And so you have a few names, and there's a bunch of them. So you've got them in your fold. Some of them are in your fold. There's about 300 names and titles for God. And if you didn't get a fold, get one. And use this in your study, your prayer time. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Lord, when I say hallowed be your name, you are Lord. You are the great I am. And watch this. See, these are some of the things that God has revealed himself through his name. He is Jehovah Jireh, where he says, I am your provider. He is Jehovah Shalom. I am your peace. Jehovah Shammah, I am your presence. Yahweh Rohi, I am shepherd. Jehovah Tsikdenu, I am your righteousness. Jehovah Makedesh, I am your sanctifier. Jehovah Nissi, I am your banner. Jehovah Rapha, I am your healer. You look at all these compound names of God, how God acts and how God lives and how God moves with us and how he has relationship with us, so that when I get in prayer and I don't know what to pray, listen, I just pull that thing out and I start adoring God of who he is and who he is in my life. And I begin to say, oh God, I want to thank you that you are Jehovah Jireh. You are my provider. You have provided everything I need to live a godly life. You have provided everything I need to live in this life. I have clothes. I have a wonderful wife that you provide. I have children and grandchildren. I have food on my table. I have this nice home. I have this nice acreage. Lord, you have provided all these things for us. Lord, you have provided grace. You have provided mercy. You have provided joy in our lives. You have provided the very faith that we believe in. You are Jehovah Jireh. We adore our great God and we point to him. And you know what, folks? When we begin to do this in our prayer time, all these other things that we're dealing with in this life, they become so strange. They become so dim. Because why? We're acknowledging and confessing our great God. Jehovah Shammah, I am your presence. I'm going to be with you. I've been with you. I'm with you right now, and I will be with you. And in my presence is fullness of joy. And I say that, God, you are Jehovah Shammah. You are present in my life, and I praise you. Or shepherd, you open Psalm 23, and you see all the way that God, all the way this God shepherds us. And I say, I am. He said, I am your shepherd. God, you are my shepherd. And you lead me to green pastures, quiet waters. You're with me. You're present. You're Shammah in the presence, in the valley of the presence of death. Your rod, your staff, they comfort me. You provide a table before me, Jehovah Jireh. Lord, you lead me in paths of righteousness. You're my righteousness. You're Jehovah Tsikdenu. And all of a sudden, I'm on my knees, and I'm praying some scripture here. And all of a sudden, I know for me, my needs and my stuff does grow dim. Most of us, we go to prayer, it's selfish. We want what we want, and we want it now. We want to pop it in the microwave and say, God, do it in 30 seconds. That's how we are. And we pray for me, we pray for our discomfort, we pray for what I'm going through, and we miss the greatness of our great God, who's already provided by way of the cross for you. What's wonderful is that in John chapter 1, verse 14, the Bible says that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. God became flesh and dwelt among us. And all of a sudden, you have a great name of this Savior, Jesus. Now, I don't have these in notes, but I want to read this to you because I think it's just so important. The Word became flesh, dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory just like Moses did. Just like Moses, the glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of what? Full of grace and truth. The Bible says that when you behold him as in a mirror, the glory of the Lord, you get transformed from glory to glory. You get the look just like that as you look and behold the glory of God. But what's wonderful is that Matthew chapter 1, verse 21 through 23, when the angel is saying to Joseph, hey, you're going to bear a son, right? And you're going to name him Jesus. Why? Well, it says it this way, Matthew 1, verses 21 and 23, she will bear a son, you'll call him Jesus. Why? Because he's going to save his people from their sins. That's what Jesus means. It means Savior. It means deliverer. And thus it'll be fulfilled of what the prophet said. The virgin shall be with child and shall bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which translated means God with us. When I name the name of Jesus, I'm saying Savior. When I say Emmanuel, I'm saying God, you're with me. Bible says in Acts 4:12, there's salvation in no other name, for there is no other name under heaven that has been given among men by which we must be saved. The Word became flesh, they gave his name Jesus, Emmanuel, and that's the only name by which you can be saved. The only name, nothing else. No other name under heaven or earth or on the earth. No other name. It's Jesus. So in John 1:12, it says, as many as received him, them he gave the right to become children of God, even to those who do what? Believe in his name. I'm believing in the character of God when I say, hallowed be your name. And then Romans 10:13, whoever calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. So here's this salvation. It's come into my life. I've received him by faith. I've trusted him for this salvation. And I'm saved in him. But I get to walk it out. Because 1 Corinthians 6:11 says, such were some of you. Some of you were adulterers and fornicators and liars and homosexuals. And some of you were these people. You were drunkards. But what happened? You were washed. You were sanctified. You were justified. Watch. In the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The Spirit of our God. And then ministry, Luke 10:17. Even the demons are subject to us in your name. So here's Jesus. He comes, he gives them this name. We come 2,000 years later, he comes into our life, we get saved, and all of a sudden we're walking it out, and we're walking the name out, and we're being sanctified and justified. And then he gives us ministry, and he says, listen, this ministry is so great that even the demons are subject to us in the name, in your name. And then one day, the Bible says that God, for this reason, God highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name, which is above every name. So at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow, those who are in heaven and on earth, under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of our Father. Thank you. It's supposed to be a part of our lives. You are God. You know, you look at your little sheet there, and you look at all the names of Jesus, because Jesus comes along and he says, hey, before Abraham was, I am. They wanted to stone him because he was calling himself, I am, the self-existing one. And he'll go on and say, I am the good shepherd. I am the bread of life. I am the true vine. I am the door. You can't go through anyone by me. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus came declaring who he was. And who he is. And 2,000 years later, we get to enjoy that. Folks, are you enjoying the name of God today? Are you enjoying the life of God? Are you enjoying and responding to that? Because listen, when I say, hallowed be your name, I'm saying this is your, not only your name, but this is who you are. I'm sorry for spraying on y'all. I'm usually not that close to people. I'm sorry. My mouth's going to get dry in a minute, and it'll be fine. The Alpha, the Omega, I'm the light of the world, the great I am. That's who you are, God. When I say, hallowed be your name, I say, you're God, I'm your worshiper. You know, Romans chapter 12, verses 1 through 2. Do you have that up on the screen? I don't know if we had you put that in. But a very great passage of Scripture. It says, do not be transformed. Do not be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So why? Because you prove what the will of God is, right? And he says you need to offer what? Your body as a living and holy sacrifice, right? What does that mean? Were you up there? Yeah. I therefore urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice. Watch. Acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. What is my worship? It's transformation. My worship is pointing to God, to the names of God. It's wonderful to think about God as my shepherd, but I really don't start worshiping him until I demonstrate that. There are people in your life that you need to be shepherding. I am Shammah. How do I imitate that? You be present in people's lives. You be available for them. I mean, when you look at this passage of Scripture, and I wish we had more time, you go into Romans and you see all the gifts that God's given to us. And that's how we worship. That's our reasonable service of worship. It's not just here at this hour. No, we have, what, 183? I don't remember. Hours a week? Please, mathematicians, you know I am. Okay. But, yeah, 7 times 24, what is that? Okay, good. I'll say a lot. Every hour. Every hour. I adore him. I say, you are God. I am your worshiper. This is how I will worship you. I'll reflect the great God who laid down his life for me. So my life becomes a living sacrifice where I'm laying down selfishness, I'm laying down pride, I'm laying down rights, I'm laying down what I think are entitlements, and I'm serving those around me. When you're serving and operating out of your gift, you're worshiping God. I know I've said this before, but in my office, there's a wonderful picture that Brent painted for me of the Good Samaritan. And I'll look at it often, I'll say, the glory of God. But you know what's so great about the glory of God and that Good Samaritan? When he stopped and he laid his life down and he laid his time down for that Jew, that enemy, he was worshiping his great God. That's what he was doing. He was worshiping. We are worshipers. Hallowed be your name. And you know, I think when I say, you're God and I'm your worshiper, the third thing that we're going to say is, this is how I'm going to live. This is how worshipers live. We love our God and we love our neighbor. And we follow our God to our neighbor. And this changes so much of our lives. It'll have such an effect on your life. It'll affect the way that you live. You know, let me talk about, just list these things of what we're to do with the names of God and how this affects us. We call upon the name of the Lord. We're saved. We're to love the name of the Lord. We're to magnify and exalt the name of the Lord. Psalm 34:3. We're to walk in his name, praise his great and awesome name. We're to believe in his name, trust in his name. We're to ask for fruit in his name. We're to receive little children in his name. We're to gather together in this place in his name, or wherever we gather. We to speak out boldly in his name. We give thanks for all things in his name. We do everything that we do in word and deed, we do in his name. For his name, we give. Everything that we give in his name. We take refuge in his name. We bless others in his name. We boast in his name. We give thanks to his holy name. We proclaim his name. We bless his name. And we tell the name of the Lord. This will change your life and how you're to live. And when I'm praying this, hallowed be your name, I'm not only praying that for me, I'm praying that for my family. Oh God, be hallowed in my children's lives, my grandchildren's lives, my marriage. Oh God, be hallowed in our name. May we worship you in spirit and in truth all of our lives. May we reflect the greatness of our God. It'll affect the way you live. You know what else it'll do? It'll affect the way you do church. It'll affect as worshipers coming in together. You know, to be a worshiper of God, first of all, you got to be alive. You got to be alive. I don't know, but sometimes I come in, I don't feel like worshiping, and I look dead. And I'm sure there's some of you out here. You come, you look dead. Now, I think there's different styles and there's different ways, but my word, I've seen some of you get up and scream and yell in football games. You're alive then. You don't mind standing for 30 minutes. In a football game. And I just think about that with me, if you would. And I just, the thought is that will I be alive in my worship? Or I sit like a dead, well, whatever. The second thing about worshipers, as we do church, is we're dependent. We rely on something, we rely on the Spirit. The Bible says, be not drunk with wine, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. And then he says about being filled, this is my dependent on the Spirit. And he says, what you do is you speak and you sing and you make melody in your heart. And you do this together. You sing praises, you sing the word, you sing hymns, you sing all these things together. But I'm doing that because I'm dependent on him. But the third thing is I'm surrendered to him. That's why the Bible says, do not forsake the assembling of one another. But he says, as long as it's day, let us learn how to stimulate one another to good words. Let us spur one another to good deeds. Listen, how in the name of God, it'll change your church life. You'll come in to this place, you'll drop your kids off, not looking for how you can be pleased, but how I can please God. Now come on, this morning, did you think about, it's raining this morning, it's dreary, it'd be a nice day to stay in, right? And you know what, I hope he doesn't take so long, or I hope he doesn't do the introduction too long or whatever. Hope he doesn't review too much. And I hope it's a good day. I want to feel good when I leave. You know what we say so often? I want to be pleased. Please me. Preacher, please me. band director or our worship leader, please me. Instead of coming in and saying, oh God, I want to please you. When we hallow the name of God, we don't hallow our name. We hallow his name. By the way, hallow means this. It means to be set apart as holy. Just be set apart as holy. To sanctify the name of God. And that's what I'm praying for. I'm praying that for me. I'm praying that for my family. I'm praying for church. But I'll tell you one other way. It'll affect your life. It'll affect your witness. I love what the scripture says in John, where Jesus is talking to the woman at the well. And this is what he says. He says, you know what the kind of worshiper God wants? He's seeking for worshipers that will worship him in spirit and truth. In power, because that's what the Spirit of God is. In truth, the Word of God. Where the Spirit of God is speaking and leading, and where I'm reading that Word and he's speaking. He said, listen, that's what worship's all about. Worshiping spirit and in truth. Doesn't have anything to do with a place. That's why we've got a lot of hours to do it in our life, in the week. And it'll change you the way you give witness as you go. Because all of a sudden you realize that everything that I'm created for is for him and to point to him. And my speech, when I share Christ, when I give witness. You know, one of the first things that we talked about when we went overseas was we go overseas because there's no worshipers over there. And God seeks to have worshipers. Here, over there, any place in between. Yeah, I was really touched by a story. You turn that picture, put that picture up, please. There's a picture on the screen. The little girl on the left, her name's Hope. Hope showed up at school or the English room, I think. I don't know the story, but I may get it wrong, Craig, but you can correct me later, okay? And if I'm embellish it, I'm sorry. There's Hope. Freshman. So she's about 14, 15 years old. She came to Christ in a high village that Craig had never been to. But she came to Christ there. And when she came down to school, she's been looking for other Christians, watch this, to worship with. She's a worshiper. Listen, we don't go tell people about Jesus to get converts. We tell people about Jesus so they become worshipers. Amen? It's because who we are, worshipers. She is looking for kids to worship with, and she was so excited to find these believers, and Craig was there. And you know what she did? She told them about her baptism, and she says, I had to say about four or five statements. And she said, the first statement I said was, they asked me, do you believe, have you come to receive Jesus into your life? And I say, yes. And do you know that you've been forgiven of all your sins? Yes. And will you live for him the rest of your life? And then there's one other. Does that sound familiar to you when we do baptism? Right? That's how we do baptism here, isn't it? One other. When, not if, but when they come and they take everything that's dear to you. When they come and take you away from your parents, when they take away your things, your houses, will you still follow and worship him? Yes. Now let's say this. Craig, she was saying this, started crying. Because you know what? That young girl found Jesus in a high village that we personally haven't been to, but somebody who has been taught by folks that we've been involved with all these years went up and led this little girl to the Lord. And now she's looking for worshipers to worship with. Let me tell you, hallowed be your name. She calls on the name of the Lord. She sings the name of the Lord. She thanks on the name of the Lord. She's looking for other worshipers. Folks, that's why we go. It'll change your witness. This name is, this guy. I want to proclaim his name, not my name. Not Mike Fritcher's, not Cottonwood's. His name. Hallowed be your name. Listen, there's a trip coming up. We do it every year. You get to go meet Hope. You get to meet these folks that are worshiping. It's an English camp. It's a 10-day. It's from June 7th to 17th. Craig's going to meet you. It's an informational meeting. If you don't have any money, we'll help you find the money. But we need English teachers to go into the English classroom that your church has fixed up and has sent Baxter and Katie. We're going to do this for 10 days, or we'll be gone for 10 days, and you'll get to work with these teenagers, seeing worshipers raised up. Informational meeting over here. That's a plug. Listen, we're witnesses. And when I say, hallowed be your name, it will change the way you witness in your job, in your community. It'll change because you'll know it's about Him and not about us. Would you bow with me in prayer right now? Lord, I pray that our lives would be changed today. That in such a way, Lord, that we would respond properly to Your name. That our life would point to Your name. We pray, we say it in prayer, God, Your name is great. But I want to ask, do our lives show that You're great? And that Your name is great? God, I want to pray, Lord, right now as we close this, I want to model this for the body. So right now, just as you go into prayer, maybe tomorrow morning or tonight, and you open your Bible to the Lord's Prayer and you say, Our Father in Heaven. Our Father in Heaven, I want to thank You that You're my God, that You're my dad, that You're my Abba, that I'm Your child. And Lord, I want to thank You that You birthed me. You caused me to be born again by the living Word. That I'm Yours and You're mine. That You love me with an everlasting love. I want to thank You today, Father, and adore You that You're my heavenly dad and You know exactly what I need and you know how to give what is needed and You give good gifts to me and I want to praise You for that. And I want to thank You for the good gifts that You're giving. And Lord, I want to thank You. God, Father, my heart, Father, I want to thank You that You have a name and Your name is I Am. Your name is Jehovah. Your name is Yahweh and You are ever present in my life. Your name is Jesus. You've saved me. Your name is Emmanuel and You're with me right now and You're going to be with me when I get out of this door, when I go down to class, when I study, when I go to work, when I have to deal with things that are hard. You are with me because You are Emmanuel in my life. And I proclaim that You are Jehovah Jireh. You are my provider. You have provided all the things, You've provided all the graces that I need in this life. Lord, that You are Jehovah Rohi. You are my shepherd. And Lord, I want to thank You for being my shepherd. I have experienced the still waters and the green pastures. And Lord, I know that what it means to be disciplined by You, but I also know what it means for You to run after me when I'm lost and You find me. And God, I want to praise You for finding me when I'm lost as the great shepherd does. God, I want to thank You today that You are Jehovah Rapha. You are my healer. You've healed my diseases. You've healed the wounds of my heart. And God, I've still got these wounds in me. And God, I'm calling upon Rapha today to come and heal the wounds of my heart today. Oh God, You are sick day new. You are my righteousness. There's nothing I can do to earn anything. It's Your righteousness that I call on. It's Your righteousness that I seek. Oh God, thank You. Your name is great. And may I get up from this prayer time this morning and run to make Your name holy. Not that it needs to be made, but that I may point to the hallowed, the glory of Your name. And I ask these things in Jesus' name and for His sake. Amen and amen.